It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Matt Kew, and this is the Autosport Podcast. Max Verstappen dominated qualifying at the Spanish Grand Prix today at Barcelona, and Autosport Grand Prix editor Alex Kalinauskas and I were there to witness what was a really interesting session, even if the end result was very familiar. Alex, why don't you set the scene for us? We were lucky enough to go trackside, a few bolts of lightning, some rumbles of thunder. So how did today pan out from the track, you know, with weather having quite the impact?
Yes, Matt. Well, we know that quite a bit better than most of the people. Well, actually, yeah, in the media centre at the very least, obviously the fans out watching in the grandstands and the various sort of hillside vantage points around this lovely venue. We'll know this very well indeed. It was quite the weather impacted day. We went out to watch trackside in FP3. We had seen the clouds building up. We had brought our jackets with us. You were lent one by a very kind press room colleague who works for Sky Sports, my mate Sam. So fair enough for that. And you snuck in an umbrella as well, which we were at one stage was rather worrying might attract some lightning because it was thunderstorms. It really was building up over the distance around the penultimate corners. It really looked like the track was set to get quite the dousing. So action-packed start to FP3 until Logan Sargeant ditched it into the gravel on the outside of the final corner. That's, of course, a big focus point. We'll talk about that later on. That session was really impacted by the rain, but it didn't affect the result too much or anything like that. Verstappen on top thanks to his laps early on in FP3. But the rain, it was looking like it was going to do something similar at the start of qualifying. Clouds building up, very heavy, sort of coming from a different part. This time around, it's come from the southern part of the circuit, the north part in FP3. And it didn't really come down. It was just a few spots falling in the pit lane that the drivers reported, and you could see coming down from the press room windows that overlooks the pit lane. But basically, it put everybody under a lot of pressure, and there were offs galore. Fernando Alonso, his tyres a little bit cold, made a mistake, chucked it in for his first lap in Q1, skated off into that same gravel behind the final corner. Change for this year. The reason why we went out there in FP3 was to have a look at how things were looking, those, you know, super high speed right handers compared to the Mickey Mouse chicane that made them slow, that was in between from previous years. Lewis Hamilton calling it the Mickey Mouse chicane. Seems a little bit harsh on the Disney character, but there we go. Alonso off, Albon off at turn 5, Nyck de Vries was spinning constantly so much that he was asking his team what on earth was going on. That was at turn 11, Valtteri Bottas also had an off there. And basically there was so much gravel on the track at various points, the FIA had to throw the red flag. So that stopped things for a little while. It meant ultimately Fernando Alonso would end up 9th because he damaged the floor, not enough time to repair that fully. And so Aston Martin did what they could, but he wasn't the pole threat we had been expecting. You know, we'll go on. I think a little bit to talk about the bigger impact of the later sessions. But the other story in Q1 was Charles Leclerc eliminated in 19th. You know, from pole here last year, he had that spin coming out of the slow chicane last year. Then nailed it back for pole when Ferrari were in the fight with Red Bull at the front of the field. Now very much not, but At the time of recording, we haven't had a proper explanation from Ferrari about what exactly caused that, but Leclerc is adamant something wrong with his car, something affecting him going into left-hand corners, because he said the right-hand side corners, the right-handers essentially, felt the same as they did in FP3, so he was very confused about that. Changed tyres, it wasn't nothing to do with like an out-of-balance tyre set or anything, no, it was definitely something mechanically wrong with the car. That's what he's suggesting, and we'll have that confirmed by Ferrari on autosport.com, I'm sure. But yeah, that was the weather. That was Q1. Then more interesting things happened.
In Q2, the upsets continued. Two big things happening, with Sergio Perez being eliminated and the Mercedes drivers coming to blow on the main straight. Alex, let's start with picking apart Perez's afternoon.
Yes, Sergio Perez, another terrible qualifying for him. This world title fight that was being talked about a few races ago, really people were getting ahead of themselves. You know, Perez, good on street tracks, let himself down so badly in Monaco with that Q1 crash. He's come back to the first real normal circuit of the year since Bahrain, and even that has got the really abrasive surface, so it's hardly it's always called an outlier track. Back at a purpose-built facility, the first really high-speed stuff of the season, and he's just really blotted his coffee book. His copy book. I'm sure there are lots of lovely books about coffee, but copy book is the one I was going for there. Yeah, Perez just hasn't looked, you know, anywhere like getting near Verstappen's level so far this weekend. And then, you know, push came to shove in Q2 because of the sort of the threat of the rain, the slipperiness of the surface. You know, some curbs and lines were still very wet from FP3 and the little bit of rain at the start of Q1. So the teams were sending the cars out to do a lot of laps, fueled for various points. And the track was rubbering in a lot as well, because that had been washed away in the wet. The F2 race was wet. They laid down a lot of different rubber, you know, affecting the impact of what the F1 cars had done in FP1 and FP2. Perez out, you know, towards the end of Q2, pushing to really get his final lap there in, and he skated off into the gravel at turn 5, just touched the curbs with his right side tyres, and that was it, straight off. He's lucky to get out of that gravel trap. He's told, you know, you've got enough time for another lap, you've got enough fuel for another lap. He charged his battery, he went again, he set 3 personal bests, and it wasn't good enough. Nico Hülkenberg squeaking in ahead of him. So yeah, really, really poor from Perez. Having said that, a couple of the drivers we'll come on to talk to later on, Carlos Sainz and Lando Norris, adamant that Sergio Perez will still finish second in this race with Verstappen winning. But we'll talk about the race later, I'm sure.
And on to the Mercedes pair. Well, it wasn't quite Barcelona 2016, with Lewis Hamilton going onto the grass under pressure from Rosberg, and the two taking each other out to tee up Max Verstappen's first Grand Prix win. Yeah, not quite as extreme as that, but still a headline grabbing coming together. So Alex, just take us through that one, please.
Bit of a miscommunication, George Russell not really understanding where Lewis Hamilton was on the track. He sort of, you know, was passing a Ferrari, getting himself, that was Carlos Sainz, because Leclerc was out. Russell getting himself prepared. Hamilton, they're both starting flying laps. Hamilton got an amazing toe. Nobody really sort of expected that. I don't think Hamilton did in a way, but obviously he was, you know, he was like, I'm coming by. George has been a bit slow. What's going on here? Russell moved over on him, and it was nearly a plane crash accident. I mean, it was pretty shocking. And obviously teammates there, I think Russell has apologised. He's shaken Hamilton's hand. He's held his hand up. You know, I didn't see him. He was warned by the team, but it all a big mess from Mercedes, and really could have been really, really serious. Fortunately, it wasn't. Hamilton got away with it, without minimal damage. His front wing on the right-hand side was shorn off. That obviously changed between Q2 and Q3. He was easily through to Q3. Russell, however, not. He looked all at sea, said he was pretty much throughout that session. He was still going reasonably quickly, but you know, the incident with Hamilton at the end just left with him with not enough time to put in a decent lap. So yeah, tricky for Mercedes. You know, they've got these upgrades here, they're absolutely adamant, they have improved things for them, but not to the level of beating Red Bull. But yeah, just definitely, you know, the sort of worst nightmare thing to see if you're Toto Wolff and a team boss, your two cars colliding.
And then finally, we get into Q3 with Max Verstappen taking pole position. But there was a bit of an atypical journey to that result, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was certainly a strange looking Q3. You know, obviously, we've had a few races where, you know, like, think back to Australia, doing lots and lots of laps because they were, you know, worried about rain and things like that, and just getting bank laps in and stuff. But here, is there were two clear runs for all the cars that make Q3, except Alonso, because Aston wanted to give him enough time to work on his floor to maybe try to make some fixes there. Nico Hülkenberg only given one run for Haas on new tyres. At the end of Q3, he ran sort of offset ahead of the rest, so he ran a couple of minutes to go there. Did very, very good job. Shuffled back eventually. But yeah, Red Bull sent Max Verstappen out straight away on the soft tyres for his first run. Everybody else, all the rest apart from those two that were in the garage at the time, Hülkenberg and Alonso, they were out on used tyres. And Verstappen blitzed to the time that got in pole position, 1 minute 12.272. Pretty impressive lap time. Verstappen said he was barely pushing Q1 and Q2 to get there. A little bit of a deliberate dig at Perez, or a subtle dig at Perez, don't know there. But anyway, he certainly felt he wasn't even trying until he got into Q3, delivered that lap time. And basically, we understand that the discussion with Red Bull was that Red Bull didn't even want to send him out for a final go. It was Verstappen's insistence that he could find a lot more lap time, that he wanted to go again. Red Bull said, okay, fine, but he was running at the back of the pack. If none of the others are threatening you for pole, we're bringing you in, because Verstappen is saying they want to save the tyres for tomorrow. We're going to get onto that, talk about the race and the strategy in a few moments, but it is a little bit, you know, tough on tyres, the wet weather may be coming into it as well, so they might need those soft tyres, you know, for a short run at the end. So yeah, definitely a lot to think about for Red Bull. But it was a bit unfortunate, because essentially with Verstappen in command, you know, he was 9/10 clear after that first run. It was looking all really, really good. Hamilton is closest challenger at that stage. He then, Lewis Hamilton, put on soft tyres, fresh new soft tyres, as did the rest. Hamilton set a personal best lap, but only good enough for fifth. And then Carlos Sainz ended up second. He produced a really good lap. You know, Ferrari struggling here quite a lot, because Sainz says their car has just been poor in higher speed corners all season long. They're searching for the sweet spot in terms of setup with these new upgrades, and that's made the weekend very complex for them. And then obviously we've got to investigate this Leclerc problem now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Sainz brilliant to end up second, his best result in front of his home crowd. I think he'd really, really love to be on the podium here tomorrow. But the bigger shock, Lando Norris, third for McLaren. I mean, I asked him about this in the press conference. You know, in FP3, he was the first one out there on the inters midway through the session when it was raining. He was the first one to go to slicks towards the end of FP3. I said, you know, did that just give you confidence? He was like, no, that's just something I like to do. Maybe it would have given me a bit of an edge, you know, making a transition from inters to slicks. Had qualifying been wet, you know, maybe with the race to come, wet weather impacting that might give him a little ledge. That sort of explains that, but really just shock is what he said. He did not expect that, was fearing he might go out in Q1, because McLaren, Norris said, had its worst FP1 since Bahrain, when obviously everything went wrong there that weekend for McLaren. So the progress they've made from there really, really shocked the team, because Norris insists they didn't change anything, there's no big upgrades here for McLaren. It's just essentially, this track suits their car much better than the rest, and the conditions came to them. So the cooler temperatures, Norris saying, helping today. But really key is the high-speed corners. So we're talking turn 3, turn 9, and the final two corners. That's where also Verstappen was brilliant. That's where he's, as I asked him about, you know, where was your pole position lap good? Verstappen replied saying, this is in the press conference afterwards, look, the high speed stuff, you know, he really gained time at the high speed corners early in the lap, and then was just able to ease his way around to the rest of it. But yeah, that's where the McLaren is strong. You know, we've talked about them having a drag problem, downforce levels, things like that. It just, you know, it's always better suited to that stuff. The trouble is there isn't actually that much of it on the calendar. So anyways, British fans supporting Lando Norris and McLaren at Silverstone, you would expect logically, unless it's roasting hot and that, you know, throws the tyres out of whack, that McLaren should be doing very well there based on what we've seen today, and Norris saying that as well today. So yeah, that's Norris on his way, getting third position behind Sainz. Verstappen was running at the back of the pack, as Red Bull had suggested he would be, and indeed, as soon as they saw that no one was going to threaten him for pole, they called him in. It was a bit of a shame, really, because I think, you know, he insists that he got to turn 10. Yes, he was slower in the first sector than his personal best, but he insists that he was up by the time he got to turn 10, that left-hand long hairpin at the end of the second sector, and that he would have gone on to improve pole position. I said, you know, did you take that final corner flat ever? Because that was a little discussion with having in the press room, would anybody be brave enough to do it, considering the history of big shunts at the high speed final corner there before it was changed back in 2007? But Verstappen said no, unfortunately, just didn't get the chance to try it. Maybe he would have had he been allowed to finish his Q3 lap, but anyway, never got the chance to see it. Verstappen did say, however, that with the rate of progress currently seen with these 2023 F1 cars going into 2024, he would expect next year the drivers will be taking those final two corners absolutely flat out. So hopefully that'll be nice and exciting. But yeah, that's why he's pulled in the pits, celebrating there, and it just looked so straightforward for him.
And then Pierre Gasly qualified fourth for Alpine, but is currently under investigation for impeding both Carlos Sainz and Max Verstappen separately in Q1. Quite the double whammy. At the time of the recording, we don't have an outcome for that investigation, so please check autosport.com for the latest on Gasly's fate. And then finally, Alex, what kind of race can we expect tomorrow?
Yeah, well, there's two things, really. First of all, let's talk about the wet weather. As we said, you know, it was predicted to impact things today, and it did, maybe not to the extent that some people were hoping for, or some people were expecting, but it definitely appeared. And the same is true tomorrow. You know, there's a lot of suggestions that the grid, sort of the 45 minutes hour leading up to the race, the long-term forecast suggesting that's when rain might arrive. That really will shake things up, because this track, you know, it's a tricky track at the best of times to you know, in fully dry conditions to drive for the drivers. That's why they actually quite like it here. I know, of course, it doesn't historically produce very exciting racing, but they enjoy it because it really tests them. That high speed stuff and medium speed corners, extra tricky in the wet. So if it is wet, who knows? It might change the result from the Formburg 2023 suggesting and Red Bull domination. It could do that. Equally, we might see a Verstappen wet weather masterclass. He's really, really good in the wet. So yeah, I don't just intrigued to see what happens there. But also, as ever with wet weather, this can be a bit of a hiding to nothing, even talking about it, because you know, often it never arrives. But let's assume that does happen, that it is a dry race. And again, it's just not good news for anyone hoping for a non-Red Bull victory, or, you know, the neutral fan expecting a good race. Essentially, based on the pace seen in FP2, Max Verstappen is in on another planet, as one team insider put it to me. That his soft tyre pace on high fuel late in FP2, you know, he's half a second quicker every lap than the best that the Ferraris could manage. Lando Norris is not confident about maintaining third. He thinks he's going to go backwards. Carlos Sainz says that Sergio Perez is going to come forwards from 11th and finish second in a Red Bull 1-2, but essentially it's just looking crushing for Red Bull. And in fact, someone even suggested to me yesterday that Verstappen, at the pace advantage he's got, could afford to one stop while the rest will be forced to two stop, and Verstappen would still win. Norris joking in his press session that McLaren might end up being lapped twice. That's how quick Red Bull are. The big sort of unsaid bit so far is turn one. It's a very, very long run down there. You know, Carlos Sainz has the opportunity to attack, although he said, really, if you really want to get a good move in going into turn one, you need to be starting third. Maybe Norris has an opportunity because of the toe factor, because, you know, the racing line is on that side of the grid, and therefore if you start on those first, third, fifth positions, you get a better launch. So yeah, anything can happen though, and I think if Sainz gets the sniff of an opportunity to attack Verstappen, he should, and he says that he's, you know, just he would give it everything. The Red Bull really should come by because of its straight line speed pace compared to the Ferrari, but Ferrari has been running lower downforce. That means lower drag. Potentially there could be a chance there for Sainz, but it's unlikely. So yeah, that's the summary. Hopefully it will be a good Spanish Grand Prix. History suggests, unfortunately, it won't be, but nevertheless, we hope you enjoy watching it. We hope you enjoy listening to this. Thanks very much for listening to the Autosport Podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.